receive a handout as you get ready to receive tonight. Now, I have this statement I want to make up front that kind of goes along with the exhortation we had in pre-service prayer, is that increase is not to overwhelm you, but increase is to propel you. God wants increase to propel you. So this is a day of increase, an increase of learning and receiving from God, an increase of knowledge. What the scripture says, the knowledge and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. So the knowledge of God, who he is, Christ, who he is, and who we are in him, is increasing and abounding in our day and generation. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So don't let the increase overwhelm you, but let it propel you to a new level and a next level in God. Amen? Praise God. So we're not here by accident tonight. God is equipping us, and he's impacting us in a mighty, marvelous way. Amen? So he's causing us to change in our walk and in our worship toward him and our work that he assigns us to do with and for him. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to be talking about patience tonight, so let's go right into it. We have our scripture that we're going to open up with in Galatians, and then we're going to go from there. So let's turn there, look at it, mark at it. How many have been enjoying the fruit of the Spirit? God giving you insight and concept and further understanding. Praise the Lord. So let's all read that together in the New King James right there as it's written. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Ready? Read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, so let's look at that also, as Brother Steve read and amplified as well. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, and patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such there is no law that can bring a charge. Praise God. Isn't that good? Now let's read the next scripture we have listed there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Ready? Read. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. So let's define I call it the double power of patience, the double power of patience. So this patient fruit and the force, and I said power, I'm talking about the force of patience, because you need it on these two channels or these two arenas in your respective life. So don't just think patience in one dimension, but I want you to think it on several dimensions. So we're going to look at it tonight, we have it written out there. I'll just read it for you. There are two Greek words, translation, patience, in the New Testament. So that's where we live, and that's our covenant that we're under. Amen? We have a better covenant established upon better promises. And this word, hupomone, means to remain under, and when one bears under a burden. It refers to steadfastness and difficult circumstances. Steadfastness in difficult circumstances. Now, what is it? What do you think about when you think about the phrase steadfast? You think about, what do you think about? Some of y'all. To stand firm. Staying power. Endurance. Yes, all those are correct. What do you think about? Anybody else? You know, you can think about never changing. Amen? You stay the same. So you see these things, even during difficult circumstances, we don't change. Now, I want you to think back to your previous experiences of difficult situations that we all experience, that's just part of life, right? And how did you respond in your faith life, your faith walk, your love life? And so think about, where was patience in that picture? In a situation that was difficult for you. So it means also cheerful endurance. That's the actual Strong's definition. That's the first definition that we have. We talked about it even Sunday. There has to be a cheerful endurance. So cheerful means you're not just putting up with and you're frustrated or angry. It means you're cheerful about enduring. Amen. It means constancy, staying the same, enduring, patient, continuance, waiting. So in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved by from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. So no matter what you're going through, you're going to stay focused and steady on the course. So this next Greek word, macrothumia, which is used in Galatians 5:22, is a compound form of the word macros, which means long, and thumos. And those of you that teach about anger, you understand between the two different types of anger listed in the New Testament, major categories of anger. Thumos is the temper or the passionate side, the emotional outburst side of anger. Orge was the hidden emotion. That means it's not displayed per se, externally or even shared in some cases, but it is acted out, it's held a long time. So this is that, those were two words put together. And this word patience in this scripture, Galatians 5:22, literally means long temper. That's where the King James, even the new King James, calls it long suffering. Now, sometimes we think negatively when we think the word long suffering, but it really means to keep, it literally means to a long temper, a sense of the ability to hold one's temper for a long time. Now, we're going to get some help tonight, amen? Because we all need to see this and understand this and embrace this. So the King James translates it long-suffering, this Greek word, and that I gave you the Strong's number there, the G3115. The Strong's number is the word patient endurance, to bear long with the frailties, offenses, injuries, and provocations of others. So whether you provoked by somebody, or you're injured by somebody, or you're offended by somebody tried to offend you, or somebody's, you're struggling with somebody's mishaps or shortcomings or misgivings. That means their flaws, their idiosyncrasies, the stuff that rubs you like sandpaper. Come on now. So this has a relational application when you're dealing with people who are imperfect. Anybody met imperfect people? Just look in the mirror. That's to say, if you haven't seen one lately, just look in the mirror. I've looked at them. Amen. Praise God. So you bear long with the frailties, offenses, injuries, and provocations of others. without murmuring, repining, and resentment. Now, murmuring, in this definition, these are dictionary definitions I have written out there. So we spelled it out so you have clear understanding of this double powerful fruit of patience. Amen. Half-suppressed or muted, muttered complaints. So when you're murmuring, you're like under your breath. And you're saying stuff. Twisted lips, small utterances, or you're grumbling. Amen. God even said he heard them murmur in their tents in Numbers. So that's not a good thing. Everybody said that's not a good thing. So patience helps us keep from murmuring. If we let patience work in us in a relational situation with others. You ever been around people who are quick to judge, quick to say something about somebody? Right? And quick to get mad, grumble, and complain about others? Low patience. You ever been around people who have low tolerance for people's shortcomings, misgivings? They're always critical, condescending. Can we keep going? Can we keep going? Amen. Low patience. Now, repining means to feel or express dejection or discontent of someone, or to complain, or to beef, or bellyache about somebody. Well, praise the Lord. And then resentment, obviously, the feeling of anger or displeasure about someone or something unfair, offense, or grudge. So you know, people say, well, that's unfair. And they talk about what bad has happened to them by someone or someone in authority. Jesus even told us, friends, if somebody smites you on the cheek, what do you do? But if you're impatient, man, you're not turning. That cheek is not turning over. Come on now. He said if he sue you for a coat, the principle, get the principle, get the spirit of what he's saying. Don't literally put yourself in a fight unless you can't avoid it. Amen. So, but what he's teaching us is principle. He said if somebody smack you on the right cheek, you get them up. He said if somebody sue you for your coat, give them your other one. Now, if you got patience working, you'll be okay. Are you listening to me? If somebody could compel you to go a mile, go two. Go X amount. What is he teaching us? Well, he's given us a concept of the love command, how it's act out in one of the characteristics. Look, go back to the love teaching. And remember, one of the first characteristics of love we listed in the Amplified Version, right? 1 Corinthians 4-8 Amplified Version was what? Love is patient. So love gives the fuel to patience to work and drive its engine in your life. Amen? Now, you think of it this way. Go back up to Galatians 5:22-23. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Everybody say love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. We get those from our relationship with our Father in his presence. Connection with him. And then the outflow of that is our dealing with people. Look at the next three. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And then the other three, you'll see, have another direction toward the world and other things that we get involved in or assigned to. Faithfulness, gentleness, come on now, self-control. So these are dimensional and complete in all our sphere of dealings in life. Praise God. We see that? Do we see that? Amen. So this is so important. So let's play a little game tonight. We're gonna have a little bit of fun tonight. So we see Galatians 5:22. We got our two Greek words, right? And I said the double power partnership of patience. You've got to partner up with patience. Don't get anywhere in life. Amen. So we saw Galatians 5:22 and 23, this word described in the King James, New King James, as what? Long suffering fell under the category of dealing with stuff so you don't lose your temper. We often say, if you don't get offended, you'll make it. Right? Because offense trips you up right away. Amen? You lose your temper, you're done. Because he said, be ye angry and what? Sin not. Be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to what? Slow to wrath. Slow to get angry. So we've got to have patience to help us keep us from blowing up. Because anger is one word short of danger. Amen? So that means our temper can burn long time at an even keel. You're on medium low. It just barely warms things up. You don't even get hot. I'm talking about temperamentally. Temperamentally, you burn medium low. You don't get all huffy and fussy and wild up. Patience. Anybody had that pair lately? Hallelujah. All right, so our next scripture, and I got a little small money roll, but the first one's run up here. First one run up here. Come on. All right, Brother Steve. All right, so put the scripture up. First Colossians 1:9-11. 1:9-11. Okay, Brother Steve, tell us where this word fits in. You get the pen. You write it down. Where does it fit? In these verses. Actually, it'll be in verse 11. Keep going. Okay. Where does that fit? For the money roll. Yeah, you put it. Write it down. Write the scripture down, in the column it belongs. Okay, is that your final answer? Okay. Glass. Yes. Yes. No. Y'all say yes. You're all a half right. That's why I got the largest amount of money given away for. So you get half of this. So. So remember, strengthen with all power, for all patience and long suffering. So those are not two words, the same words. It's actually both words. So put Colossians 1:11 in there. Now, think in the context of what this prayer is. How powerful is this prayer? He's telling us to ask for, to ask and petition on a consistent, regular basis without fail. What? That we be strengthened with might according to his glory and power for all what? Because how many know the devil doesn't take a day off, right? And you have to deal with people. But you got to do what? Keep your joy. Isn't that good? Amen, amen. Well, I had a bunch of ones here, so, Brother Steve, you get half of it. But we'll bless you with all of it anyway, so, since you're the first one to come up here. Hallelujah. All right. Next scripture, John, and who's back there? Oh, yeah. So, Cynthia, you guys put up the scriptures, Luke 8:15. Now, you got this white paper back there, so follow that script. We're going to go through the scriptures on the side, to the patient scriptures. Run up here. Where's it go? Put it on the screen. Luke 5:8-15. But on that one good ground they are, with an honest report, heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Where's it go? Write the scripture in the column. That's your answer. Bring forth fruit with cheerful endurance. So what's the learning here, friends? That this is how you bring forth fruit, by being constant and consistent. Some people want it right now, tomorrow. I want it today. All right, so let's give Sister Tracy a hand. She got that right. Okay, next scripture. Come on up. Luke 21:19. Nobody wants to. I'll keep it in my pocket. And the teenagers want to come up. No? Okay. Okay, we got Sister Grace. All right, somebody's got some motivation here. All right, where's it go? In your patience possess ye your souls. Okay, so with patience, we can possess what? Our minds, will, and emotions. It helps us keep under control, under pressure, and persecution, because this is a context of persecution. So when people are coming against you, what's going to help you possess your soul? Patience. Everybody say patience. Patience. But it's not macrothumia. It's what? Hupomene. Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Grace. So it's hupomene. All right. So Luke 21:19. Okay, put the next scripture up, guys. Somebody should have been up there already. Romans 5:3-4. Okay. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation or trouble, hard times, tests, trials, worketh what? Patience. And that's correct. You know, you don't have to pray for patience when tribulation works patience. What that mean? That means patience goes to work during tribulation. But what do we have to do with patience? We have to let patience have her perfect work. Amen? And then, of course, it says, and patience experience and experience hope. All right, Sister Carolyn, make your selection. Where does it go? Where does those scriptures go? Romans 5:3-4. Okay. Is that correct, class? That's correct. Let's give her a hand. Hallelujah. All right. I got $5 more. Romans 15:5. Who's coming? I guess everybody's rich in here. Brother Steve, you were correct, right? Nobody. Okay, Romans 5:5. Now the God of patience, everybody say patience, and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Where does it go? Is it hupomene or macrothumia? Romans 15:5. Is that correct, class? That is correct. Correct. Let's give her a hand. Let's give her a hand. Hallelujah. There you go. All right. Oh, I got one more five up in there. Okay. All right. Ephesians 4:1-2. Ephesians 4:1-2. One of the teenagers. Come on. You want to try it? Victor. Everybody say Victor. 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 All right. All right, so let's look at it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, it with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Where does that go? Where does that verse go? Under macrothumia, hupomene. Give you a lifeline. Look at your mom back there or your sister. Or look at Brother Ken. Look at Brother Ken before you write. Before you write. Are you sure? You can line it out. Did you look at them? Okay. Ephesians 4:2. How about that, class? Is that correct? That is correct. All right. Thank you. There you go, Victor. Get the last out of it. Put it there. Put it up there. Okay. All right. So let's go through some more scriptures and look at where the dual benefit of patience functions under the New Testament. So we got a few scriptures to go through. All right. Colossians 3:11-12. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. So that goes under here, long suffering. Now he said, put it on. Everybody say, put it on. So what do you have to do with it? Is it always going to be on? What do you have to do with your clothes? You have to put it on. Put your clothes on. So he says, put on what? Tender mercies. When's the last time you put on tender mercies? Did somebody ever come up to you and say, you ain't got no tender mercies on? Right? Or kindness. You ain't got no kindness on. You could have left it off. You could be naked in kindness, undressed in kindness. Are you listening to me? What did he say? Humility. Ooh, that's a good one. Did you put on humility today? Now, Peter says it this way. This is what Paul was saying by the Holy Spirit. But Peter, by the Holy Spirit, says, be clothed with humility. That means put it on like clothes, like all over you. So did you put your clothes on? Did you put your humility clothes on? Hallelujah. He said meekness. Everybody say meekness. Then he said what? Long suffering. Everybody say long suffering. All right. So that's that word macrothumia, which means bearing up with one another and forgiving one another. So that means you're ready to deal with people. Too often, we go out of the house or even come to church, and we're not ready to deal with people. How do I know that? People come in, they sit by themselves, they're in a spiritual cocoon. Don't shout me out because I'm preaching real good tonight. You preaching in the computer, and 1,000 people can walk by you, and you never look up and say hi. You're missing your macrothumia. You're missing your patience, your long-suffering. Or, church is out, I'm out. First one gone. Why? I don't want to deal with people. You see how this works?
Yes.
You see how patience can help partner with you to help you become a people person? Because you don't, some of us have high expectations of others. And all we judge ourselves by is our great intentions. And we think, okay, I sliced the bread real even. My cheese and my life is all together. And so we come across as unhumble, haughty. Amen? Now, so God's got to say, okay, if I send new people who are raw fish, what you got to do with it? Got to be clean. Got to be, but somebody got to be patient enough to deal with the smell and the stuff and scales. That's hard work. But some people don't want to do that hard work. So I'm just going to be spiritual all by myself. I'm just going to read my Bible, make my prayers and confessions. I ain't going to witness to nobody because I don't want to deal with nobody. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good now. Because patience helps you get down on a level and to relate, to connect, and to care for people. And don't get so quickly frustrated when they spill up all over themselves. Babies do spill up all over themselves. Babies do poop in their pants. What you expect? You think they'd have had it all together because you've been in the kingdom for 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? No. Patience helps you relate up too. But people get upset when you know they find out the pastor ain't perfect. Oh, he got a spot on his arm. Oh, he stepped in the wrong spot. He messed up on his word. Everybody say long suffering. I can use me. Hopefully you don't get offended when I talk about me. They didn't speak to me that day. Well, are you walking in? Did you put on long suffering? Are y'all here with me tonight? And then we get riled up or twisted up because somebody didn't give us the attention we needed or wanted. And so we run around naked, no long suffering, no humility. Come on now, no meekness, not forbearing. Somebody said, glory to God. And so we're so irritable and irritated and agitated because, you know, everybody's not floating on cloud nine like you are. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Are you long-suffering with your family? Well, praise the Lord. I don't have time to step in that area. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience. Everybody say patience. Patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Savior. Now that's or hupomone. That is this patience over here. So let's put that over here. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. What are we supposed to be following after? Money? No, that's the context of the scripture. They follow after money and riches. I got to work. I got to go. Why? Because they're impatient. They got to have it now. They can't wait for the Lord to bring it to them. They got to go out and get it. Like we said, they add to themselves and not try to let the Lord add. And be patient and wait for the Lord to bring my harvest in. I'm trying to go make my harvest. Amen. So we're supposed to be following after what? Patience. 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 So that's 1 Timothy 16. Now let's look at Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12. Be not that you be not slothful in business, but followers of them who through faith and patience, everybody say faith and patience, inherit the promise. So faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Everybody say faith and patience. So in the context example, he gives us after Abraham patiently endured, he received a promise. What? 25 years later, he got the child. He left her Ur of the Chaldees at 75. And at 100, he had what? He had Isaac. Come on, some of us can't wait 25 minutes. I want it now. All right. Let's keep going. Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Cast not therefore away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience. After that you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. So many times things are happening, but because we don't see them happening, we become impatient. But if we have our expectation on, right, Brother Steve? And we see, like we talked about this earlier in our pre-service prayer, if we see the seats full, we don't get impatient. Some people are not patient enough in prayer to see something. They get up and they don't see and they become impatient. I don't see how this is going to work out. It'll become, their expectation goes from positive to negative. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us and run with patience. So we're supposed to run our race with patience. Run with patience. Run with cheerful endurance, constancy, consistent and continued waiting. You get in a hurry, you have a tendency to get out ahead of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's always good to stay one or two steps behind the Lord, so you can see him, and the Lord is not sprinting, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord keeps a good pace. Amen? James 1, 3, and 4, we read it Sunday. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is this one. But let patience have her perfect work. So when I'm in a trial, I should become patient in trials, and this is how I'm going to be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing. This is a key to getting perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But you got to think about, like we said earlier, take inventory. When's the last time we let patience have her perfect work? So that mean you going through some really tough stuff or hard, difficult situation, but you are operate in cheerful endurance. I don't care if it's a domestic issue with you and your family at home, or if it's a financial issue. Come on now. These issues need upamani. They need this patience to work. If it's a physical health situation, you should do what? Have this. Cheerful endurance, constancy. Consistency. Amen. Because by faith and patience, I inherit the promises. Praise God. Now, when I'm dealing with people, I'm even keeled. I'm on slow burner. Amen? I'm not getting upset, and I'm not going off, and I'm not running crazy because I'm under pressure. I don't respond negatively to offenses and injuries, insults, and issues that people provoke in my life. Amen. Everybody say patience. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for patience. Thank you, Lord, for patience, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. So, a patient person, this is where your focus needs to be, an understanding needs to be, is able to endure, we're on the back page of your handout now, much pain and suffering without complaining. Everybody say much. Well, we know many is afflictions are righteous. And then Peter even gave us an indication that though you be tried with fire. I mean, that means that situation is hot. It's heated. But guess what you're doing? You're cool under the fire. You're calm under the fire. You don't fall out in the fire. And you know, I'm being comical, but you understand the illustration. So you say, well, I'm going to take my Christian hat off right now because I'm getting ready to cuss. I'm going to turn the air blue. I'm getting ready to go off. I'm just sick and tired of this. I'm so frustrated. I'm upset. And then they just let it rip. Both barrels. Boom, 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 boom. Well, your patience level was low. Amen. A patient person is slow to anger as he waits on God to provide comfort and punish wrongdoing. So you don't get back. You don't talk back. You don't try to go back to the fight and get involved in flesh and blood stuff. That's why, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we've been around the Lord long enough. I mean, we shouldn't have to be getting involved in lowering our standards just because we want our way. That just means impatient. Amen? So since it's the fruit of the Spirit, we can only possess macrothumia through the power and work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So you gotta fill up. You gotta get filled up. You gotta let the Holy Spirit help you with this area of patience. Because some people filled up, but I don't know what they filled up with. I mean, I used to usher at some of these camp meetings and stuff, and people get filled up and dance. I just saw them dance, and then you take their seat, they cussing. Somebody hurled a Bible next to me, threw a Bible next to me one time. Said, "That's my seat," and they got about to get after each other. "You just dancing last night. You just undie my bow tie." Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, patience comes from a position of power. Patience comes from a position of power. Now, that's why we say get filled up. Everybody say get filled up. So you got to be filled up with power. If you don't have this power, because you can't operate in this naturally. You can't have a long temper or to hold your temper for a long time or to have cheerful endurance or be constant. If you don't get filled up with power, you won't operate from a position of power. And patience allows you to operate this position of power. A person may have the ability to take revenge and cause trouble, but patience brings self-restraint and careful thinking. That's why you need patience in the trial, James says, because as you knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So you can think clearly in the middle of that fiery trial and say, wait a minute, I know that this is going to work my patience. Go to work. Amen. Losing patience is a sign of weakness and spiritual immaturity. trials work for the believer, not against them. Amen. Romans 8:28, by the Holy Spirit, Paul said, and we know that all things work together, what? For good to them who love God and all that are called to his purpose. That's what you think about. You quote that. Even in the onset of the situation, you say, for this light affliction is but for a moment. Worketh for us, not against us. This light affliction works for us. That family affliction works for you. That financial affliction works for you. When you call it that, when you think like that, when you let patience work on you to see that, amen? It's but for a moment working for us for far more exceeding weight, eternal weight of glory. All right? Trials rightly used help us to mature. Trials rightly used help us to mature. Now, you can see these two words are positioned for you to be powerful and patient through trials. This is when stuff is going on. This is when people are bothering you, trying your patience. Amen. So what does God want to produce in our life? Patience, endurance, the ability to keep going when things are tough. And so he'll allow sometimes to see if you're going to handle it, you know, that tough person to come in your life and say stuff. But it's just a people test. It's just a patience test. Because you got all these tests. If you study the life of Joseph, you'll see there's 10 tests all believers go through. And we can all start on a P, because you know I like my alliterations. So there's a power test, there's a pride test, there's a possession, there's a prosperity test, and there is a patience test. Can you wait until the Lord? Those that wait on the Lord, he what? Renews their strengths. He changes their strength and power. But will you be impatient and run out ahead of the Lord? Amen. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? So he wants to make you tough. You got to be tough-skinned, because when you're dealing with people, because God won't give you more than you can handle, right? And you got to look on that on the positive side. He's not going to give you more people in your life that you can handle. Because you get bothered with one person. You get bothered with all the people in your own living quarters. Okay, I can't add more people in their life. They're going to tear them up. They're going to turn into a Kodiak bear. Oh. Hallelujah. Well, I'm having fun tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So in the Bible, patience is not, and we're going to hurry up and close here, a passive acceptance of circumstances. So this is not just drumming your fingers and putting up with everything that goes on. It is a courageous perseverance in the face of trouble, suffering, and difficulty. So your faith is still on. Your faith is still focused, but patience is focused too. Patience is focused on your faith, staying strong, staying stable, staying steady during the trial. So you're still believing, you're still confessing, you're still expecting, and you're still anticipating God to show up any moment, every day. You got fresh expectation every day, even though that thing has been hanging around your house and your address for a long time, you still wake up and say, this is a brand new day, and I'm expecting brand new. It's a new day in Christ. Every day a believing day, every day a receiving day, every day a day of miracles, signs and wonders. I'm expecting God to move today. I'm expecting God to manifest today. And I'm not going to get moved if the clock passes midnight. And I'm not going to run out of patience and say, God, I'm through with you. No. I'm still standing. I'm still believing. I'm still confessing. Come on now. I'm still constant. I'm still cheerfully enduring the situation. Glory to God. See, immature believers are always impatient. Mature believers are patient and persistent. patient and persistent. You can fill in the spots there on your handout there, please. Persistent, impatient, and unbelief always usually go together, just as faith and patience go together. Isaiah 28:16, he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. So we are patient through trying situations out of our hope for coming deliverance. We're expecting deliverance. So we wait for our deliverance. We patiently wait. We cheerfully endure while we're waiting to be delivered. And we are patient with trying person out of love and compassion. We choose to love that person, and we want what's best for them. See, as the Spirit produces patience in us, he is making us more Christ-like. I'll give you the rest of them here as we close. Somebody say, glory to God. God is patient with sinners. Study out Romans 2:4. It says God's patience leads to our repentance. How long did God have to wait for you before you said yes to him? Now, some got old early, and that's why we need children's church. So thank God for the children's church teachers. And come on, let's give them a hand. That's awesome. Because we need them to not have to go through high school experiences, college experiences, and then come to the Lord. Get them while they're young. Amen. Amen. But God waits for you a long time, doesn't he? Amen. So he waits for sinners. So he leads us to that. His patience leads us to repentance. So he doesn't get tired and through with us, right? He's long-suffering. His will is that all come to repentance, Peter said. He'll wait till they get 25, 26, 35, 36, 45, and sometimes even further. Some of them don't make it until they deathbed, but they make it. Well, praise the Lord. And unfortunately, some don't make it. But he's patient with everybody. Amen. So James, by the Holy Spirit, urges believers to be patient and not to complain for the waiting of the return of the Lord Jesus. So some people sit and they wait for Jesus to show up. They said, come take me, Lord. I'm ready to go. I'm impatient. Friends, you and I are getting closer to the grave every day we allow to live. That's just a fact of life. Appointed the man wants to die. But as we grow older, we shouldn't become more impatient. We should be looking up and saying, Lord, what else you got for me to do? Because I will wait for you. Amen? Amen. So he holds up the models as prophets of patience under the Old Testament. You can read those scriptures when you get time. And then lastly, the opposite of patience, or second to last thing, is agitation, discouragement, and desire for revenge. That's the opposite of patience. So take a look at that in your life and see if I'm get agitation or discouragement or desire for revenge. So he doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to dispel discouragement and replace it with hope and praise. And he's told us, don't avenge ourselves, but rather love. Owe no man anything but to love him. Love works no ill to his neighbor, does no harm to his neighbor. Amen. And then lastly, God is patient, and his Spirit produces a fruit of patience in us. God is patient, and his Spirit produces the fruit of patience. So when we're patient, we leave room for God to work in our hearts and in our relationships. So that's what we're going to pray for tonight in our family prayer, this last paragraph there, the last little section there. We lay down our schedules and trust God's. We thank the Lord for what and whom he has brought into our lives, and we let God be God. Now, in the church context, we look at it this way. We say, Lord, am I impatient with anybody? Is anybody bothering me? No, you let the Lord deal with it. Deal with you about that. In my family, is it bothering me in any way? Amen? Come on, let's stand. Did everybody get something out of this tonight? Praise God.